Chapter 15. Office 2 find it quite deserted. Almost distracted now by his anxiety for her, he retreated as rapidly as he had come, regaining home only to find that she had not returned. He recollected telling her that, if she should ever lose her way, she must call a cab and drive home. It occurred to him that this was what she would do now. He again went out upon the balcony. The dignified street in which he lived was almost vacant, and the lamps stood like placed sentinels awaiting some procession which tarried long. At a point under him, where the road was torn up, there stood a red light, and at the corner two men were talking in leisurely repose, as if sunning themselves at noonday. Lovers of a feline disposition, who were never seen by daylight, joked and darted at each other in and out of area gates. His attention was fixed on the cabs, and he held his breath as the hollow clap of each horse's hoofs drew near the front of the house, only to go onward into the square. The two lamps of each vehicle afar dilated with its near approach, and seemed to swerve towards him. It was a vice, surely? No, it passed by. Almost frantic, he again descended and let himself out of the house, moving towards a more central part, where the roar still continued. Before emerging into the noisy thoroughfare, he observed a small figure approaching leisurely along the opposite side, and hastened across to find it was she. 2:12. A grill descends between, oh vice! Apostrophe, apostrophe, he cried, with the tenderly subdued scolding of a mother. What is this you have done to alarm me so? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she seemed unconscious of having done anything, and was altogether surprised at his anxiety. In his relief, he did not speak further till he asked her suddenly if she would take his arm, since she must be tired. Oh no, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she assured him, I am not a bit tired, and I don't require any help at all, thank you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they went upstairs without using the lift, and he let her and himself in with his latchkey. She entered the kitchen, and he, following, sat down in a chair there. Where have you been? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, with almost angered concern on his face. You ought not to have been absent more than 10 minutes. Apostrophe, I knew there was nothing for me to do, and thought I should like to see a little of London, apostrophe, she replied naively. So when I had got the stamps, I went on into the fashionable streets, where ladies are all walking about, just as if it were daytime. 'Twas for all the world like coming home by night from Martinmas Fair at the Street o' Wells, only more genteel. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh a vice, you must not go out like this. Don't you know that I am responsible for your safety? I am your, well, guardian, in fact, and am bound by law and morals, and I don't know what all, to deliver you up to your native island without a scratch or blemish. And yet you indulge in such a midnight vagary as this. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but I am sure, sir, the gentlemen in the street were more respectable than they are anywhere at home. They were dressed in the latest fashion, and would have scorned to do me any harm. And as to their love-making, I never heard anything so polite before. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, you must not do it again. I'll tell you someday why. What's that you have in your hand? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a mousetrap. There are lots of mice in this kitchen, sooty mice, not clean like ours, and I thought I'd try to catch them. That was what I went so far to buy, as there were no shops open just about here. I'll set it now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she proceeded at once to do so, and Pearson remained in his seat regarding the operation, which seemed entirely to engross her. It was extraordinary, indeed, to observe how she willfully limited her interests. With what content she received the ordinary things that life offered, and persistently refused to behold what an infinitely extended life lay open to her through him. If he had only said the word, he would have got a license, and married her the next morning. Was it possible that she did not perceive this tendency in him? She could hardly be a woman if she did not, and in her airy, elusive, offhand demeanor she was very much of a woman indeed. It only holds one mouse, apostrophe he said absently. But I shall hear it throw in the night, and said it again. Apostrophe apostrophe, he sighed and left her to her own resources and retired to rest, though he felt no tendency to sleep. At some small hour of the darkness, owing, possibly, to some intervening door being left open, he heard the mousetrap click. Another light sleeper must have heard it too, for almost immediately after the pit-pat of naked feet, accompanied by the brushing of drapery, was audible along the passage towards the kitchen. After her absence in that apartment long enough to reset the trap, he was startled by a scream from the same quarter. Pearson sprang out of bed, jumped into his dressing gown, and hastened in the direction of the cry. A vice, barefooted and wrapped in a shawl, was standing in a chair. The mousetrap lay on the floor, the mouse running round and round in its neighborhood. I was trying to take N out, apostrophe said she excitedly, and he got away from me. Apostrophe apostrophe, Pearson secured the mouse, while she remained standing on the chair. Then, having set the trap anew, his feeling burst out petulantly, a girl like you to throw yourself away upon such a commonplace fellow as that quarryman. Why do you do it? Apostrophe, her mind was so intently fixed upon the matter in hand, that it was some moments before she caught his irrelevant subject. Because I am a foolish girl, apostrophe she said quietly. What? Don't you love him? Apostrophe said Jocelyn, with a surprised stare up at her as she stood, in her concern appearing the very vice who had kissed him 20 years earlier. It is not much use to talk about that, apostrophe said she. Then, is it the soldier? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, though I have never spoken to him. Apostrophe apostrophe, never spoken to the soldier? Apostrophe apostrophe, never. Apostrophe apostrophe, has either one treated you badly, deceived you? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Certainly not. Apostrophe, well, I can't make you out, and I don't wish to know more than you choose to tell me. Come, advice, why not tell me exactly how things are? Apostrophe apostrophe, not now, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe, she said. Her pretty pink face and brown eyes turned in simple appeal to him from her pedestal. I will tell you all tomorrow, and that I will. Apostrophe apostrophe, he retreated to his own room, and lay down meditating. Some quarter of an hour after as he had retreated to hers the mousetrap clicked again, and Pearson raised himself on his elbow to listen. The place was so still, and the jerry-built door panels so thin, that he could hear the mouse jumping about inside the wires of the trap. But he heard no footstep this time. As he was wakeful and restless, he again arose, proceeded to the kitchen with a light, and removing the mouse reset the trap. Returning, he listened once more. He could see in the far distance the door of a vice's room, but that thoughtful housewife had not heard the second capture. From the room, came a soft breathing like that of an infant. He entered his own chamber, and reclined himself gloomily enough. Her lack of all consciousness of him, the aspect of the deserted kitchen, the cold grate, impressed him with a deeper sense of loneliness than he had ever felt before. Foolish he was, indeed, to be so devoted to this young woman. Her defenselessness, her freedom from the least thought that there lurked a danger in their propinquity, were in fact secondary safeguards, not much less strong than that of her being her mother's image, against risk to her from him. Yet it was out of this that his depression came. At sight of her the next morning, Pearson felt that he must put an end to such a state of things. He sent a vice off to the studio, wrote to an agent for a couple of servants, and then went round to his work. A vice was busy writing all that she was allowed to touch. It was the girl's delight to be occupied among the models and casts, which for the first time she regarded with the wistful interest of a soul struggling to receive ideas of beauty vaguely discerned yet ever eluding her. that brightness in her mother's mind which might have descended to the second device with the maternal face and form, had been dimmed by admixture with the mediocrity of her father's, and by one who remembered like Pearson the dual organization the opposites could be often seen wrestling internally. They were alone in the studio, and his feelings found vent. Putting his arms round her, he said, "My darling, sweet little device, I want to ask you something. Surely you guess what? I want to know this. Will you be married to me, and live here with me always and ever?" Oh, Mr. Pearson, what nonsense! Nonsense? Said he, shrinking somewhat. "Yes, sir." Well, why? Am I too old? Surely there's no serious difference? Oh no, I should not mind that, if it came to marrying. The difference is not much for husband and wife, though it is rather much for keeping company. She struggled to get free, and when in the movement she knocked down the Empress Faustina's head, he did not try to retain her. He saw that she was not only surprised, but a little alarmed. "You haven't said why it is nonsense." He remarked tartly. "Why, I didn't know you was thinking of me like that. I hadn't any thought of it. And all alone here. What shall I do?" "Say yes, my pretty advice. We'll then go out, and be married at once, and nobody be any the wiser." She shook her head. "I couldn't, sir." "It would be well for you. You don't like me, perhaps?" "Yes, I do very much. But not in that sort of way quite. Still, I might have got to love you in time, if well then, try," he said warmly. "Your mother did." No sooner had the words slipped out than Pearson would have recalled them. He had felt in a moment that they jeopardized his cause. "Mother loved you?" said a vice, incredulously gazing at him. "Yes," he murmured. "You were not her false young man, surely? That one who yes. Say no more about it." "Who ran away from her?" Almost. "Then I can never like you again. I didn't know it was a gentleman. I thought, it wasn't a gentleman then." "Oh, sir, please go away. I can't bear the sight of you at this moment. Perhaps I shall get to like you as I did. But no, I'm DD, if I'll go away." Said Pearson, thoroughly irritated. "I have been candid with you. You ought to be the same with me. What do you want me to tell?" "Enough to make it clear to me why you don't accept this offer. Everything you have said yet is a reason for the reverse. Now, my dear, I am not angry." "Yes, you are." "No, I'm not. Now what is your reason?" "The name of it is Isaac Pearson, down home." "How?" "I mean he courted me, and led me on to island custom, and then I went to chapel one morning, and married him in secret, because mother didn't care about him, and I didn't either by that time. And then he quarreled with me, and just before you and I came to London he went away to Guernsey. Then I saw a soldier, I never knew his name, but I fell in love with him, because I am so quick at that. Still, as it was wrong, I tried not to think of him, and wouldn't look at him when he passed. But it made me cry very much that I mustn't. I was then very miserable, and you asked me to come to London. I didn't care what I did with myself, and I came." Heaven above us. Said Pearson, his pale and distressed face showing with what a shock this announcement had come. "Why have you done such extraordinary things? Or, rather, why didn't you tell me of this before? Then, at the present moment you are the wife of a man who is in Guernsey, whom you do not love at all, but instead of him love a soldier whom you have never spoken to, while I have nearly brought scandal upon us both by your letting me love you. Really, you are a very wicked woman. No, I am not. She pouted. Still, a vice looked pale and rather frightened, and did not lift her eyes from the floor. I said it was nonsense in you to want to have me. She went on, and, even if I hadn't been married to that horrid Isaac Pearson, I couldn't have married you after you told me that you was the man who ran away from my mother. I have paid the penalty. He said sadly. Men of my sort always get the worst of it somehow. Though I never did your mother any harm. Now, a vice, I'll call you dear a vice for your mother's sake, and not for your own. I must see what I can do to help you out of the difficulty that unquestionably you are in. Why can't you love your husband now you have married him? A vice looked aside at the statuary, as if the subtleties of her organization were not very easy to define. Was he that black-bearded typical local character I saw you walking with one Sunday? The same surname as mine. Though, of course, you don't notice that in a place where there are only half a dozen surnames. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.